Our lessons this week are on the life of Elisha. And tonight, we're in chapter 3 of 2 Kings. As you open 2 Kings, as I told you Sunday morning, that the king that sits on the throne is King Ahaziah. His name means Jehovah sustains. But he had no time for God. Oh, he knew all about God. He knew that God had proved himself over and over again. But King Ahaziah did not come to know God in a personal way. In fact, we find that he rebelled against the things of God. And when we find that this King Ahaziah was up in his upper chamber, one day he took a fall. When he took a fall, he asked his servants to go to Ekron and to inquire of Belshazzar whether he would live or not. Well, God sent Elijah to him. And Elijah said to him, because you have gone to inquire of Belshazzar and not the living God, you will die in your bed. And so he did. Because God's words are absolutely true. You know, if that would have just been the end of him, he would have had nothing to worry about. But you see, after you die, you have to spend eternity someplace. And either you spend eternity in heaven, or you go to hell. And that man never came to know God as his own personal Savior. And therefore, he'll spend eternity in the lake of fire, the place called hell. Oh, tonight, I trust that you know him. Well, after he died, we find that his brother took the throne because he had no children of his own. And I wanted to tell you, too, about King Ahaziah. There's a very interesting verse that says this in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Well, his ways didn't please the Lord. And so as a result, the Moabites rebelled. They were their enemies. But you know, for a long time, for 150 years, they were under the control of the Israelites. Because King David, 150 years ago, brought them under subjection. And what those Moabites had to do is every year they had to pay taxes or tribute money. It was no small change either. Because what they paid was this. They paid 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with their wool. Well, King Ahaziah, he didn't care. I mean, he had plenty of money of his own. It was the nation that suffered, not he, so he didn't bother about it. But when his brother took the throne, oh, that was a different thing. You see, his brother, Jehoram, the Bible says that he did not do the evil like his father, King Ahab, did. He was better than his brother Ahaziah, too. But this man, when he took the throne, the first thing that Jehoram did, one of the first things, is he knocked down that pillar that was erected to Baal, to the worship of Baal. God's word says that he continued to worship the golden calf. Well, this man, Jehoram, what he wanted that tribute money. He wanted that tax money. After all, 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with their wool, that was a lot of money. So what he decided to do was to go off and fight. And so what he did is he asked the king of the south, from the kingdom of Judah, whose name was Hezekiah, whose name was Jehoshaphat, if he would go and fight with him. And Jehoshaphat said, sure, I'll go and fight with you, for after all, you are just like I am. My people are like your people, and my horses are like your horses. Now, that was a very foolish statement. Jehoshaphat said that once before to King Ahab, and when he went to fight with King Ahab, he almost lost his life. You would have thought he would have learned his lesson. You know what God's word says? Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? You know, there's many people that think, oh, well, my case will be different when they get married, and oftentimes there's believers who will marry an unbeliever, and they find out that God's word is true. You see, because of the fact, God makes it very clear that if you marry unequally yoked, and that means a believer with an unbeliever, you're asking for big trouble. You see, God's word is true. And this man, he should have known better, because you see, Jehoshaphat, he knew God in a personal way. And King Jehoram, well, he didn't know God. Now, it could have been, I'm not sure about this, but it could have been that Jehoshaphat thought, well, maybe Jehoram was different than his father Ahab, because what he did is he knocked down that pillar that was erected to Baal. You know, there's often times that people will do something to make it look good. There's lots of men, you know, sometimes that will do something in order to get a girl, and they'll try to make it look good. Well, that's what he probably tried to do. It was really a political move. But he still continued to follow in the ways of the golden calf. Now, there are several things I want you to notice about God. The first thing in this story that we notice is that God sees everything we do. He saw exactly what King Jehoram did, and he sees exactly what you do too. You see, we read that verse tonight in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, where it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Now, the next thing we notice about God is not only does he see everything, but God records everything we do. That's why we read that verse in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, where it says, "And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works." All the things that you have done, God knows about. They're recorded. Now, how do you get those things out of the book? Oh, when you trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. I like that verse that we read in Isaiah. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Therefore, return unto me, for I have redeemed you. Yes, God will blot your sins out. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all of our sins. Oh, what a wonderful thing. But the third thing I want to tell you about God, not only does he see what we do, he records what we do, and you know, he makes a comparison between people. You see, he said about Jehoram that he wasn't as bad or evil as his father. I oftentimes meet people who say, well, I'm not as bad as my neighbor or the person sitting next to me. And you know, you begin to compare yourself with one another. But you know, that's not a good thing, to compare yourself with one another, because he was still evil. You know how many sins it takes you to get to hell? Just one. That's all you have to do. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend it at one point, he's guilty of all. You see, he was better, yes, than his father, but he was still a sinner headed for hell. You know, there might be somebody in this room and you think, well, I'm pretty good. I'm better than other people. But if you never come to know God in a personal way, you're on your way to everlasting destruction. And you see, God does compare, because we read that verse tonight in John chapter 19 when the Lord Jesus spoke to Pilate and he said, "Thou couldst have no power against me at all except it were given to thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you, speaking of Judas, had the greater sin. We also read a verse of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 10 where it says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the blood of God? Trodden underfoot the Son of God, yes, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. You see, there's a comparison there. Yeah. You know, oftentimes I meet people who say, what makes the difference? If I'm going to go to hell, I might just as well do whatever I want to do. But after their hardness and impotent heart, they treasure up unto themselves wrath against the day of wrath. Oh, yeah. They treasure it up. And you know that's true also for the believers when they get to heaven. You see, because there's a difference. That's why we read that verse where it says in Hebrews chapter 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's spoken to believers. That is spoken to us. And I want to say to you people who know Jesus Christ the Savior, someone has put it this way. What you weave down here is what you wear up there. You see, everybody's going to enjoy heaven that goes to heaven. If you're on your way to heaven, we're all going to enjoy it, but some are going to appreciate it and enjoy it even more. So you see, God records. God also, as we found out, he compares. But then also, God knows whether you reform completely or if you continue going on your way. And he said about Jehoram that he destroyed the monument to Baal, but he continued to serve the golden calf. They were told this in the book of Exodus, that they should not bow down to any of their gods. No, they were not to serve them. They were not to do after their works, but they were to utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. But this man, he continued right on his sinful, rebellious way. And so he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go and fight with me against the Moabites? Now, who were these Moabites? Oh, they were a very fierce tribe. You see, they come as an offspring from Lot. Some of you may know the story about Lot. You wouldn't hardly even know he was a believer when you read the Old Testament, because his righteous soul was vexed every day, is what the New Testament tells us. You see, he fell into all kinds of sin. He was down there in that place of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God was going to destroy that city. But he didn't destroy Lot in that city. Lot was out of that city, and his two daughters that were with him, they lived in the mountain, and they're in a cave. One day, the girls decided, since there were no men around, and if they were going to have any families, they would have to get it from their father. And so incest came about. That's how Moab was born. Turned out to be a very fierce tribe that fought against the Israelites. So now he was going down to fight against them again to get that money back. So, Jehoram said to Jehoshaphat, which way shall we go? Going back to fellows who try to get a girl, they oftentimes say, well, which way do you want to go? You see, they'll let you take the lead a little bit. But it doesn't mean anything. And so, Jehoshaphat said, well, let's go down by the way of Edom, through the wilderness of Edom. And so they did. They got their troops together, and they marched on the west side of the Dead Sea. And then they went east to Edom. For in Edom, you see, that country belonged under the control of the king of Judah, who was now Jehoshaphat. And so Jehoshaphat said to the king of Edom, "Let's go and fight with us. I want you to bring your army and go and fight." So now we have three kings with their armies going to fight against one king. And we have a wicked king, we have a God-fearing king, and we have a heathen king. And here these kings go together and they march up north towards Moab. And for 7 days, they have no water to drink. It was tough. No water to drink. And right away, it was King Jehoram said, "It's all God's fault." That's what it is. He's brought us out here so that we can die. You know, it's amazing how people always blame God. There's that verse in the book of Proverbs that says that the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against God. Oh yeah, their heart will always fret against God. You see, there's many people, when something goes wrong, the first thing they say is, "Oh my God." Yeah. They take the name of the Lord God in vain. You don't hear people say, "Oh Buddha," or "Oh Muhammad." Oh no. You see, they always take his name in vain. And that's what this man said. He said, "It's all God's fault." And so the man Jehoshaphat, he said to him, "Well, is there not a prophet of Israel that we can inquire of?" And there was a servant of King Jehoram. He said, "Yes, there is a prophet near, Elisha, the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah." Oh, you see, the whole kingdom, they knew about Elisha. You see, it wasn't that they were ignorant to the fact that there was a prophet of God amongst them. But you see, they weren't following the things of God as a nation. And so this man Jehoshaphat said, "Good, the Lord's with him. Let's go and see this man." So they did. Those three kings made their way and they went to see Elisha. Now, you know, many people would be flattered if a king would come to see him. And if you thought about three kings coming to see you, oh, some people would get really excited about that and would really feel, what an honor. Well, let me tell you, Elisha didn't feel that way. Elisha wasn't flattered at all that these three kings had come to see him. And when they came, we find that Elisha was there, and they spoke to Elisha, and they said that they were without water for 7 days. Oh, well, Elisha said, "Why did you come to me? Why don't you go to your own gods? Get to your own gods that you have followed and you worship and serve. Don't bother to come to me." And then it was this king, Jehoram, that spoke up. And he says, "It's all God's fault. That's why we've come to you. It's God that's brought us out here. And it's his fault that we have no water for ourselves or for our men or for our animals." So when he spoke up and said that, Elisha looked at him and said, "You know something? I wouldn't even look at your face if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat that was with you." Oh, you see, Elisha was a very courageous, bold man to say it. Then he said to him, "Bring me a minstrel, a young man that can play an instrument, and bring him to me." They wanted water. What did he want to have them bring somebody who could play an instrument for? Oh, I'll tell you why. You see, fellas and girls and men and women, Jehoshaphat was out of tune with the Lord. And when you're out of tune, you've got to be tuned up. Remember that verse that we spoke about last night? It says, He brought me up out of a horrible pit. Yes, that's what the Lord's done for us that know Him. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my going and put a song in my mouth. Oh, I like that song, psalm, because the first thing it says is He brought me up. Then He set me up, and then He tuned me up. You know, it's good to be tuned up. We're set up on a rock. In that rock, there's stability, there's strength, there's shelter. There's everything found in the rock, who is Christ Jesus. But you know also, He tunes us up. Oh, He puts a song within the heart, within the mouth. Oh, that we can sing praises unto the Lord. And as that young man played the instrument, the word of the Lord came to Elisha. And Elisha said, what you need to do is this. Thus saith the Lord, make this whole valley full of ditches. You're not going to see wind or rain, but the water will come. And that will be just a light thing. It won't only be a small amount of water. It will be enough water for you and for all your men to drink and for your cattle and all the rest to get a drink as well. But what else God will do for you is He'll deliver your enemies into your hand. What you shall do is you shall plug up their wells when you get into their land, cut down their trees, and mar and destroy their land. But what you need to do is dig. Yes, they had to put their faith in what God's Word had to say. You know, the Spirit of God wants to come in. You're not going to see wind or rain, but it's going to come. Oftentimes, the Spirit of God is likened unto the wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Now here is the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it comes or where it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You see, fellows and girls and men and women, it's not so much how much we have of the Spirit, it's how much does the Spirit have of me. You see, that's the big lesson to learn. Because when you get saved, you have the whole Spirit of God. But the problem is, the whole Spirit of God doesn't have all of you. You see, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God doesn't have all of you. You don't surrender your life to Him. But we have all of Him. And you see, what they needed to do was to dig. And that's what you need to do. You need to dig the dirt out of your life and confess it and get right with God. When you do, oh, the water will come. You know that's what happened. Exactly what God said came to pass. And these men dug. They dug ditches in the valley. And when they dug those ditches in the valley, at the time of the evening sacrifice back in Jerusalem, when the high priest was offering the sacrifice, looking forward to the time that Christ would die on the cross so their sins could be covered, that's when the water came. It came, and it filled up the ditches. Oh, they got abundant supply. They got a drink. Everyone was able to drink. And you know that what's so exciting about it to me is this, that it was not only the Jews or the Israelites that got a drink, it was also for the Gentiles. For you see, the Edomites were there as well. The water was both for the Israelites as well as the Gentiles. And oh, how I want to tell you tonight, I'm so thankful that salvation is for us Gentiles as well. The Word of God says, for whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. Oh, I trust that you might drink of him and get that drink that will make you never thirst again. You know, in this room tonight, there's people who are drinking from other sources. They're drinking from what you might say, popularity. They're drinking from pleasure. There's some people who are drinking from the well of sex. There's other people who are drinking from money. They think that's what satisfies. But the Lord says, drink of me and get a drink that will make you never thirst again. Yes, they all had a drink. God supplied it in a miraculous way. And it came. Well, the Moabite, King Mesha, who was the king of the Moabites, he knew that they were coming. And he got his men ready to fight. In fact, he told his men, you get ready because in the morning we're going down there and we're fighting against those three kings and their army. They weren't afraid. They got ready to go. It turned the morning. And when the morning came, it was one of those beautiful mornings. The sun shone so bright. It was a nice sunrise, you know. And as the sun came up and it shone upon the water in the valley, it looked like blood. And when King Mesha got up, he said to his men, look! Look! Those three kings, they have fought against themselves. And they've killed one another. The whole valley is filled with blood. Come on! Let's rush down and we'll strip them of all the stuff they have on them. Well, they rushed down, all right, but were they ever surprised? Man, they were surprised, all right. And God delivered those Moabites right into the hands of the Israelites. When King Mesha realized what was taking place and he was losing badly, he said to 700 of his men, you come with me. What we're going to do is we're going to break through the weakest spot, the Edomites. That's the weak spot. We'll go and we'll fight against the Edomites. Well, he had another surprise coming because the Edomites were not weak. They just drank of the water. And do you know something? They chased him, and God gave them a tremendous victory. This man, Mesha, when he realized that his men were in such serious trouble, what he did is he went to the city wall, or the town wall, that was right there. And what he did to excite his men to fight even fiercer, he went and took his oldest son. And he took his son and offered him as a sacrifice to Chemosh, who was the god of then of the Moabites. Think of it. He took his boy, and there on top of the wall, in sight so everyone could see, he offered him as a sacrifice to his god. Was shocking what he did. Why the Israelites were so shocked when they saw what he did with his boy that they stopped the fight. They were shocked. And they stopped fighting. Unfortunately, they weren't shocked enough to stop their idolatry. That's the sad part about it. Oh, they were shocked to see what he did. But they continued on in their sinful, rebellious way. We don't read of any revival. No. Not among Israel. We don't read of any revival of the Edomites. They continued in their sinful practices. But we find that the war was over. Well, remember that the water came at the time of the evening sacrifice. You see, back then, they looked forward to the cross. today. We don't look forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. What they look forward to is the fact that Christ would die. And so their sins were covered when they offered a sacrifice unto God. You know something tonight? Because of what Jesus Christ has done on that cross, my sins have been taken away. And if you put your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins too can be taken away. Oh, what a wonderful thing to know that Christ died for me. He died for you. And if you put your trust in Him and take the gift of salvation, you have eternal life. But you know that man, Misha, he didn't have eternal life. And forever he'll spend eternity in the lake of fire, the place called hell. Oh, if you could only take that in, my friend. You see, after you pass from this scene, it's eternity. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere. This life at death is very short. Now, the interesting thing to me about this story is this. That the very same water that gave life to the one group gave death to the other group. The same Word of God that tells me how I can get life is the same Word of God that tells you there's eternal death for those who reject Jesus. Oh, tonight, that you might put your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have a question about it, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. Every eye closed and head bowed. Again, Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence, we just want to thank you for the Word of God. I want to thank you for the fact that we can know that we're on our way to heaven. I pray there might be someone here that will take that step and receive Christ as Savior. For those of us who know you, we just pray that we'll follow you in the ways that you would have us to go. Give someone courage tonight to stay behind so that we can pray with them and talk with them. And bless us now as we separate, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.